Listening, Unit 4, page 30, B.
You will hear part of a discussion between two research assistants, Mike Garner and Annabel Huckabee, who are talking about relationships people have online and in real life. For questions 1 to 5, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which best fits according to what you hear.
Joining us today are research assistants Mike Garner and Annabel Huckabee, who have been involved with a study examining people's behaviour online versus in real life. I think most people would guess that some people's online lives are vastly different from their real lives. What do your findings show, Mike?
There are certainly differences, perhaps not surprisingly so, but it is interesting nonetheless to see the figures compared side by side. We approached the issue from a number of slants, one of which was simply the number of friends most people have online as opposed to in real life. As you can probably imagine, the higher numbers exist in the cyber world.
On average, a person has about 50 real-life friends. At the most, we found people with over 100 real-life friends and some with as few as 10. As an interesting side note, we know from anthropologist Robin Dunbar, who gave us Dunbar's number, that the maximum number of stable relationships any given person can maintain is about 150. That's actually based on our brain size, according to his studies. Bear in mind, though, that this is a real-life number and doesn't apply to online friendships. But curiously enough, it's not terribly different from the average number of cyber friends people have.
Which is 121. Actually, we're not trying to make a definite correlation here. We don't want to jump to any conclusions on that.
Hard not to, though, when you think that without the restrictions of real life bearing down on the number of friendships you can maintain, perhaps when you strip away such factors, you can virtually, and I stress virtually, max out the number of friends your brain will allow you to have. But on studying the characteristics of virtual versus real life friends, we found some telling information about how people regard their online friends. I mean, one might imagine that an online friend doesn't make for a serious friendship, but quite the opposite seems to be true.
Most respondents confess that they have a more open, honest, and revealing friendship with their cyber buddies than they do with the ones in real life. To be honest, we didn't really answer the why of that in the study, since our questionnaire was restricted. So we can only make guesses as to why this peculiarity exists. You see, we've been under the assumption that human contact brings people closer together, but the online world allows a person to share intimate details about themselves without the nervousness they might experience in a face-to-face confession.
And naturally, everyone needs to be confessional every now and again. So really, the online world is filling a void for some people.
This is especially true for people who, for whatever reason, cannot physically make a friend. I'm talking about people who are housebound as a result of a long-term illness or a physical impairment. Or perhaps they are elderly and getting around is just a daily challenge that they would rather avoid. In the past, these people would suffer from feelings of isolation and depression. Not only do they miss out on physical interaction, but gone too are emotional and mental stimuli. Online friendships at least satisfy two of those concerns, which goes a long way in maintaining a person's well-being.
Regardless of physical ability or inability, the ease with which a person can make an online friend is what really drives the practice of doing it, in my opinion. People have very busy lives and are often tired and stressed from a grueling day at the office or a stressful day in class. Being able to just log on and chat with a trusted individual, well, you might say it's analogous with one-stop shopping in a supermarket or getting fast food at a drive-through restaurant. It's just far more expedient. The difference is, we're finding, that quality isn't suffering with the online route.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. I suppose, to play devil's advocate, there are some concerns with online friends. Clearly, you're putting yourself at risk. But with careful consideration, you can successfully form meaningful relationships online. Still, we've all read cases about a trusting individual placing that trust in the wrong person.
And aside from personal safety, other studies I've examined scrutinise how social media affects real-life concerns, such as schoolwork. A whopping 1 in 5 parents believe their children's marks at school are adversely affected by their time online.
Yes, I know the study you're referring to. Young people on average spend about 2.5 hours online every day. Only about 10% of them use it for schoolwork, and half of them spend an hour or two online playing games.
Well, really, the internet is a tool, and like all tools, it can be used to build and it can be used to destroy. Clearly, the change it's causing in how we socialise and spend our free time will force us to adapt, hopefully for the better, but perhaps with some stumbles in between.
I think we also need to examine the habits we form as a result of our online interaction. For most people, they wake up, check Facebook, spend too much time online, and neglect their other responsibilities. I've got my share of online friends and I enjoy being online, but one must remember that real life still enriches our lives in an irreplaceable way.
Now listen again.
Joining us today are research assistants Mike Garner and Annabelle Huckabee, who have been involved with a study examining people's behaviour online versus in real life. I think most people would guess that some people's online lives are vastly different from their real lives. What do your findings show, Mike?
There are certainly differences, perhaps not surprisingly so, but it is interesting nonetheless to see the figures compared side by side. We approached the issue from a number of slants, one of which was simply the number of friends most people have online as opposed to in real life. As you can probably imagine, the higher numbers exist in the cyber world.
On average, a person has about 50 real-life friends. At the most, we found people with over 100 real-life friends and some with as few as 10. As an interesting side note, we know from anthropologist Robin Dunbar, who gave us Dunbar's number, that the maximum number of stable relationships any given person can maintain is about 150. That's actually based on our brain size, according to his studies. Bear in mind, though, that this is a real-life number and doesn't apply to online friendships. But curiously enough, it's not terribly different from the average number of cyber friends people have.
Which is 121. Actually, we're not trying to make a definite correlation here. We don't want to jump to any conclusions on that.
Hard not to, though, when you think that without the restrictions of real life bearing down on the number of friendships you can maintain, perhaps when you strip away such factors, you can virtually, and I stress virtually, max out the number of friends your brain will allow you to have. But on studying the characteristics of virtual versus real-life friends, we found some telling information about how people regard their online friends. I mean, one might imagine that an online friend doesn't make for a serious friendship, but quite the opposite seems to be true.
Most respondents confess that they have a more open, honest, and revealing friendship with their cyber buddies than they do with the ones in real life. To be honest, we didn't really answer the why of that in the study, since our questionnaire was restricted. So we can only make guesses as to why this peculiarity exists. You see, we've been under the assumption that human contact brings people closer together, but the online world allows a person to share intimate details about themselves without the nervousness they might experience in a face-to-face confession.
And naturally, everyone needs to be confessional every now and again. So really, the online world is filling a void for some people.
This is especially true for people who, for whatever reason, cannot physically make a friend. I'm talking about people who are housebound as a result of a long-term illness or a physical impairment. Or perhaps they are elderly and getting around is just a daily challenge that they would rather avoid. In the past, these people would suffer from feelings of isolation and depression. Not only do they miss out on physical interaction, but gone too are emotional and mental stimuli. Online friendships at least satisfy two of those concerns, which goes a long way in maintaining a person's well-being.
Regardless of physical ability or inability, the ease with which a person can make an online friend is what really drives the practice of doing it, in my opinion. People have very busy lives and are often tired and stressed from a grueling day at the office or a stressful day in class. Being able to just log on and chat with a trusted individual, well, you might say it's analogous with one-stop shopping in a supermarket or getting fast food at a drive-through restaurant. It's just far more expedient. The difference is, we're finding, that quality isn't suffering with the online route.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. I suppose, to play devil's advocate, there are some concerns with online friends. Clearly, you're putting yourself at risk. But with careful consideration, you can successfully form meaningful relationships online. Still, we've all read cases about a trusting individual placing that trust in the wrong person.
And aside from personal safety, other studies I've examined scrutinise how social media affects real-life concerns, such as schoolwork. A whopping 1 in 5 parents believe their children's marks at school are adversely affected by their time online.
Yes, I know the study you're referring to. Young people on average spend about 2.5 hours online every day. Only about 10% of them use it for schoolwork, and half of them spend an hour or two online playing games.
Well, really, the internet is a tool, and like all tools, it can be used to build and it can be used to destroy. Clearly, the change it's causing in how we socialise and spend our free time will force us to adapt, hopefully for the better, but perhaps with some stumbles in between.
I think we also need to examine the habits we form as a result of our online interaction. For most people, they wake up, check Facebook, spend too much time online, and neglect their other responsibilities. I've got my share of online friends and I enjoy being online, but one must remember that real life still enriches our lives in an irreplaceable way.